Good afternoon. I'm George Flores, and I'm going to be talking about obesity prevention, but from a broader perspective than just a singular study focusing in on one community. Actually, this is driven by work that we did across a number of communities. We put together a team of researchers, organizational representative, foundation representatives, even legal representatives, to look at the question of Latino children's health and the environment from a broad perspective. We did a chapter in a book called At Risk for Latino Children's Health, written done by Arte Publico Press, and beginning with the notion that if you grow up in a neighborhood with tremendous adversity, then what you expect in terms of outcomes and health outcomes is likely to be tremendous health adversity as well. And this is the philosophy behind Place Matters. So our introduction to the question of Latino adversity in the face of community environments and what's surrounding us, shaping us, we found across many, many studies, both in the published literature as well as the gray literature, as well as communities that have been funded by foundations like mine, the California Endowment, and others, that relative to Hispanic, whites, Latino children that experience less favorable environments are at risk for poor health outcomes. Who's surprised by that? You shouldn't be if you're surprised by it. Stay here and listen more closely. The co-epidemics of type 2 diabetes and obesity are really driven by adverse environmental conditions, and if you understand the way genetics works, it's genes that are affected by environment results in the outcome. It has to be elaborated. Your genes are really elaborated by the environmental factors that influence that. So it's reasonable to expect that improving environments to support healthy nutrition and physical activity would lead to better outcomes. So the purpose of this study was really to identify factors in the social and physical environments of Latino kids that shape the risks and to identify practices and interventions that so show promise because we know they exist. Again, this was a scan across many, many different communities. It was not a rigorous meta-analysis, but it did give us a lot of ideas about what kinds of practices and policies are working and where are they working. Our study was lifted up the notion of Place Matters from a neighborhood perspective that is driven by the social determinants of health basically dictate a lot about how the environments do matter. It results in these behavioral mediators that are acting on stress levels. There are personal characteristics involved, but mostly these social and environmental factors are mitigating factors that can be shaped by policy. So these are actionable. If it is policy, if it's social policy, if it's practices within organizations that result in differential opportunity or risks or opportunities for better health, then these are all actionable for creating better health. Again, a natural outcome from the observations that we made, and these were really observations on literature and observations on program and community reports, that poverty is associated with greater consumption of energy, dense food, and lower quality diets, that poor Latino neighborhoods have fewer structural resources to support healthy behavior, like stores and parks and schools that are overcrowded, and rural areas in particular have tremendous odds stacked against eating well and having sufficient physical activity for the reasons that are listed here. Even within advertising, kids that are exposed to Spanish language media get a lot more adult content because there's less kids specific content in Spanish language TV in particular that has any kind of constraint at all in terms of what is advertised. So they get to see a lot of unhealthy food, unhealthy liquor, a lot of advertising that they get exposure to. What we found in the literature, what we found in the experience is that the social and place and environmental inequities lead to health inequities, and underlying that are all these social determinants of health that are, again, factors that can be mitigated and can be changed. And exactly that is what is happening in the in many, many Latino communities across the country, not just California, because we did a national scan, but all over the country. We have examples of Latino communities now getting funded through a lot of different sources, whether it's government programs, maybe community initiatives, foundation programs, that are working on behalf of changing the conditions in communities. And that's probably one of the wonderful things that this notion of preventing obesity has done, is open the door to addressing the issues around social determinants of health, and people are addressing this issue on a much broader basis. They don't stop at BMI. It's an important issue, BMI. It's important to measure diabetes. It's important to measure all of these individual disease factors. But no longer do we consider health equal to disease. We know that health is a derivative of all of these social factors, and a consequence or a cause for those both are things that happen in where people live, go to school, work, so that education becomes important and jobs become important in terms of solving the issues behind obesity, as well as diabetes, as well as heart disease, as well as cancer, and so on and so forth. So the results that we saw are healthier menus in mercados and corner stores and farmers markets, urban gardens, all of these things that originated in Latino communities in various cities and various towns all over the country, and are popping up in real literature, are popping up as examples that are replicable, that are community-driven, that show that the community initiative can really make these kinds of changes, improve physical activity like bike trails and parks, and civil rights being applied to PE standards in LA Unified School District, for example, active living being practiced more broadly, using promotoras in terms of being the proponents for these kinds of models like you heard in the previous study, walking groups, and reclaiming parks from vandals and violence and drug users. The logic pathway is then we're identifying unhealthy environments in these Latino communities and empowering partners to plan and advocate for change. Then they create health supportive policies and conditions, and it results in these healthy opportunities and behaviors. And we find a common theme where a healthier community can arise out of this notion of leveraging partnerships. It's across sectors, but it certainly is driven by a power base that is really dependent, in, especially in Latino communities, on building resident capacity and getting youth involved. Youth is such a tremendous resource in Latino communities, uniquely so, because our numbers are so young and in our population. And then driving toward policy or systems change through these partnerships and aiming for health equity and advocacy, even with through the obesity lens and with the obesity backdrop, it still opens these doors for us. And then in communication, changing the narrative, how people perceive of health, that it's not just health education to change your diet. We don't go to the Latino communities and say, we're going to teach you how to eat better, you know, we're going to teach you how to exercise more, you know, you're the victims and we're here to rescue you. That's absolutely the wrong approach. It's a different view of health where we talk about how you really have health in your hands, you really have a community here, you can change, you can make it better for your lives, for your children, for your futures, and people respond to that. And then we give them the tools as to how to get that done. And increasing access to fresh produce, for example, in the Central Valley, a regional obesity prevention project has really made a huge name for themselves in the valley and created a lot of resident power out of opportunities for collaboration between these schools and health departments and farmers and vendors, and creating even regional food systems, whereas this was the country's breadbasket and everything was being exported and people were eating poorly. Now some of that is starting to change out of this. Collaborative efficacy means bringing groups together that had maybe not been working together on the same side of an issue before, but we see that people are showing up to civic meetings. They're showing up to create neighborhood improvement discussions. I mean, when I was a kid, I know my folks didn't go to neighborhood meetings to improve their neighborhood, but this is happening now. And you've got to consider even the context of how that happens. These are people that work 10, 12, 15 hours a day, and they're showing up to neighborhood meetings after they're out of work. I mean, you really have to give them credit for being there. People are working 70 and 80 hours a week in two jobs, and they've got five or six kids, and they still come to the meetings, and they still are there because they care that much. And this is a spirit that we really want to drive and we really want to invest in. So residents pushing for closure of a nuisance recycling plant and school wellness policies and funds to improve parks and organizing for school food and participating in public land use and transportation and decision making. I mean, they criticize us for not showing up to vote, but these people are voting in a different way. These people are dedicating themselves to the betterment of communities in a model that should be considered the model for a new America. This is really the spirit of being a socially responsible person and a socially responsible community, and we're seeing it elaborated through these kinds of projects and programs. Santa Ana joint use of schools and parks, and Arvin Lamont, these are real communities where they've gotten new parks and sidewalks built, and Coachella health and wellness element in their general plan, and West Fresno walking and jogging trails. These are things that wouldn't have happened if Latinos hadn't showed up. I mean, these are wins. These are things that we can go and talk to Congress people about and mayors and the people that have their hand on the budget and say, prevention doesn't work, it's worthless. And we can say, baloney, you know. It does work and people are doing it and it makes a difference in lives and it's saving lives. So in discussing about this, we found a growing body of scientific evidence and real-life examples that environmental conditions shape the health and well-being, but we can intervene in that. And we have many descriptive and cross-sectional studies and stories, especially real stories, about where Latinos are confronting these obstacles and equitable conditions, and they're going ahead and changing them. They're improving them. And that's what we have to show for it. So if we critically examine these environments, we can know that wellness of Latino children, of millions of Latino children, is being compromised. But in these kinds of community settings, in these kinds of environments where we have a leg up, where we take a little bit of resource, and it's not a lot, folks, but a little bit of resource and a lot of human power and human will, we can make the change happen. And we're seeing co-benefits, not just in terms of obesity prevention, but in quality of life, in general wellness, in stress levels that drop, in property values that go up, in people's pride in their community, and in youth development and youth achievement, kids going to school and staying in school because they can see the value of what their education will drive them towards, where they can truly contribute. And replication and scaling these things up can assure institutionalization and lasting community change. And lastly, the Affordable Care Act has some of these examples and models that it is funding, and it gives us opportunity to build on. So those are the kinds of policies that we need to support, but it isn't without opposition. We have industry stepping in a community, two communities here, that one is largely Latino in El Monte, California, and the other one in Richmond, partially Latino, the other half black, where there's a bill to an initiative to have a soda tax. Industries coming in and telling Latinos and using Latinos as a lot of their shills, don't pass this bill, it's bad for you, you'll lose money, all of these kinds of things. So we still have a big fight to do. It's not clear path, and so we have to keep our goals in mind. But all in all, we each have a role. We know that all of these, housing, childcare, jobs, education, preschool, transportation, and safe neighborhoods, all have a piece of the action, and we must take action. That's it, and here's some resources for you. Thank you.